Welcome to Scio Community Church. My name is Kirk, and this is family. It's really good to be together as family, and I don't know about you, but when I am together with my family, whether it's my wife, my children, or even an extended family gathering, maybe a family reunion of some sort, I'm not really keen on looking at the backs of their heads. In fact, rarely do we sit in rows at the dinner table. Do any of you have a dinner table like where you have rows and, you know, you just, I mean, you would never think about that. We gather around the table and there's something really special, really profound about the table in our homes. There are chairs that are seated around the table and when we gather, we look at each other. And I know for some of you already, you're thinking this is the most awkward Sunday I've been a part of in a really, really long time. Maybe since we did this the last time, a year ago or 2 years ago or whenever it was. But regardless, this is a family gathering. And we're going to talk a bit about family. We're going to talk about a bit about the table today. But first, I want to begin with a word, because every year there's a special word that the Oxford English Dictionary adds to their dictionary, and they call it the word of the year. Raise your hand if you've heard of this before. Like they introduce a word of the year. Just for an example, for 2005, the word was podcast. In 2009, the word was unfriend. And in 2013, the word of the year was selfie. It was selfie. How many of you have ever taken a selfie? Some of you are like, what in the world? So for those of you that don't know, a selfie is, well, it's a picture of yourself. In fact, I thought it might be helpful just to kind of capture this moment together as we're here together as family and to take a couple selfies. So you guys all smile really, really big there. Yeah, make some good faces. You guys are feeling left out over here, so smile really big. There we go. Oh, of course, can't see. We have four regions, so we're going to get them all in there. I haven't forgotten you guys, okay? Say cheese. So we take selfies. Really, the same reason we take selfies is the same reason we take any picture at all, which is what? Why do we take pictures? To remember, right? We take pictures to remember certain events, and it used to be that we just took photographs. Now we take videos, we take selfies. We have all these new technologies, but it's all about capturing moments, remembering moments. Imagine a world without video or even photography. Some of you are already getting panic stricken. Like, okay, let me rephrase it. Imagine a world without your smartphone. Now some of you are really starting to lose your breath because we use our devices now so often to capture moments, to remember. It may be an audio recording, it might be a video recording, it might be a selfie or a snapshot of some sort. But we remember things deliberately that we want to save. And obviously there are some things in life we'd rather just as soon forget. We call that Throwback Thursday on Facebook, right? And people put all these pictures of how they used to look with bad hair and such. And we think, oh, we kind of laugh. And then there are, of course, those really tragic events in our life that we certainly do not want to remember. You know, primal cultures often drew pictures, and they used hieroglyphics and other things to remember because they didn't have iPhones and Android devices to capture and to remember. They didn't even have VCRs, if you remember those things, or DVD players to go back and watch old home movies. It seems like every time I go up to Brighton, my mom inevitably will take an old DVD or an old VCR tape of when I was much younger, shall we say. And she'll just have it going for hours and hours and hours. And so, you know, it can be Easter dinner or just conversations hanging out. And, oh, look, I'll remember that. That was so fun. That was Kaylee's birthday party when she was four. Wasn't she so cute? And we just remember and remember all these old memories, these things of the past. And we didn't always have this technology. Hieroglyphics is one example. Another thing that often happened in ancient days is they would just use storytelling. And they would tell folk stories because verbal communication was the main way that they could remember things. And you'd gather together and you'd tell stories. And we still do this today, but often we accompany it with media. Oh, well, let me show you this video from the other day. Let me show you this picture. And in fact, songs were another thing that was often a common way to remember things. Folk songs would capture stories through music and tunes so that people wouldn't forget the important lyrics that told a story of history. Well, as we conclude our family rules series, I want us to just remember for a moment where we've been in this series. I want to remember for just a brief bit what we've talked about. And it's been a pretty pretty extensive series. We began talking about know thyself, and then we talked about how important it is for us to be real. Authenticity is just so absolutely vital today in our culture. The importance of welcoming strangers, and we have some in the room today, and we welcome you. We welcome newcomers and guests, and we want to continue to welcome people, to show hospitality, make people feel a part of the family, let everyone know that there's a seat for them, or in this case, a few seats for them, particularly in the front row. It's so interesting, isn't it? Right? Every concert you go to, everyone wants to sit in the front. And any church service, everyone wants to sit in the back, even this morning. We have two brave people in the front row, and everyone else, you know, you guys are like in the cheap seats, but they're actually the expensive seats because everyone likes to sit in the back. I digress. Resolve conflict, we talked about, and how important this is, because conflict does happens in every single relationship. I do premarital counseling sometimes with couples, and they'll say, oh yeah, we never fight. And I think, this is not a good thing. I know you think this is really good, but this is not a good thing. You need to find ways to constructively communicate, to constructively express your concerns, and then resolve them appropriately. We also talked then about celebrating diversity and how important that is. It's all over the scriptures. Every nation, tribe, and tongue will worship and celebrate together. And it's not just about external diversity, it's also the diversity that we enjoy as a family. We have various political views, various theological views even, and in some cases, even various views on sports teams for those that don't recognize the great value of the University of Michigan. We talked last week then about making disciples and how important that is. That's really the core message that Jesus told us. That was his great commission. He sent us out and he said, go and make disciples. Reproduce the life of Jesus in other people. Because a world filled with lots of little Jesuses would be a beautiful, wonderful world filled with faith, hope, and love. And instead, so often, we've reproduced pharisaical, judgmental, legalistic, or just boring, mean people. Not at SIO, of course, but in other churches across town. And today we talk about always remember. Always remember. So if you pray with me, we're going to dive in together and remember. God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to worship you in freedom, to celebrate your death and resurrection, Jesus, to sing songs of praise, to join with angels that never stop proclaiming your goodness and your greatness, to study your word, your living word that is truth, that is life to us, and to celebrate just being a part of a family, both the SIO family that you've created locally and the family of God universal, that we are all related by blood, the blood of Jesus. And we just ask you now to guide us as we conclude this series, that we may be changed to be more and more like Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, always remember, like all the other phrases up here, it's just two simple words, always remember. And of course, what's the simple reason that we need to remember or be told to remember? Because we forget. Some of you forgot why you're supposed to remember, see? We need to always remember because we are so prone to forget. You know, there's a prominent subject in school. In fact, I think this is probably true in every high school, every college. There's one subject that's dedicated to remembering things. And no, it's not final exams, although that's a big part of it as well. But there's one subject in school that is devoted to remembering. That subject is, it's history, right? It's history. And history is so important, right? Some of you are like, well, I don't think so. And others of you, maybe you value history. I wanted to share a few quotes I came across this week about history. Maya Angelou said, the more you know of your history, the more liberated you are. There's something really powerful about knowing and about education and knowing the past. Edmund Burke famously said, those who don't know history are destined to repeat it. And this is a very, very powerful truth that we see over and over and over again through history. It sort of repeats itself, the same cycles, the same things. Oh, that we could only learn from the past. And maybe my favorite one, Winston Churchill said, history will be kind to me, for I intend to write it. That's one way to grab the bull by the horns, right? Of course, no quotes are more important than the Word of God. and the word spoken by God. And God said so much about remembering. Over and over and over again, over 100 times in the NIV, the word remember is used. And we don't have time to even scratch the surface of all of those passages, but I want to share with you a few. Genesis, at the very beginning, the very first book of the Bible, it says, I will remember my covenant, God says, between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. This is speaking to Noah after the flood. He says, never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and I will remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on earth. We're told in Exodus, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Remember that God rested on the seventh day. In Deuteronomy, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. This might be the most famous verse or the concept of remembering throughout the Bible, that over and over again, the people of Israel are told to remember. Remember the freedom that you enjoy today because you were once slaves. You were once slaves in Egypt and I delivered you. I parted the Red Sea. I provided manna for you. I provided all of your needs and protection and guided you into the promised land. And don't ever forget. And oh, by the way, make sure that you tell your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren so that they can remember as well, that they would remember the history of our nation, remember the history of our people, remember how God has been good. And thousands of years later, friends, we sit here today remembering God's goodness, remembering his faithfulness. Or as it says in 1 Chronicles, remembering the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments that he pronounced. Because our God is great. Our God is great. People. Our God is great. And he is mighty. And he is powerful. And he answers prayer and he provides for us. And he's able to do exceedingly more than we can ever ask or dream or imagine. And we come to remember this thing. We come to remember our great God. That's why we're here today. Because we so quickly forget. People say all the time, well, do I need to go to church to follow Jesus? It's not about going to church like some vain ritual, like brushing your teeth. It's about being together. It's about being reminded of God's goodness and faithfulness. It's being together with family. And it's celebrating and doing life together. That following Jesus is not something we just do for an hour on Sunday. It's a way of life. But we particularly gather, and when we worship, it's to remember how great our God is, because so often we forget. Because so often, if you're like me, you are keenly aware of how great your problems are, how greatness, how great your sick body is, how great the minus sign is on your checkbook balance. You remember how great of a not so nice person your boss is. Or how great the pain and anguish of that final exam you're about to take is. See, we're reminded all day long about pain and suffering and stress and busyness and chaos. We're reminded every day about sin, about destruction, about violence. But we come to remember that our God is greater than all of those things. Amen? He's great, and we need to be reminded. And I know some of you are like, I've been sitting in this seat every Sunday, year after year after year. I come. I need something new. Give me something fresh. We need to remember and be reminded because we so quickly forget. This morning, there are three things that I want us to remember. And first of all, I want to talk about just briefly about our history as a family. Sio's history. We began as the Ypsilanti Gospel Tabernacle in 1934. How many of you were there in 1934? Show of hands. Really? We'll talk later. You may recall last year we celebrated our 80th anniversary, so this would make 81 years, and we praise God for his goodness and faithfulness through all these years. In 1984, our church moved to Ann Arbor and became the Alliance Bible Fellowship. And I know some of you were a part of that. Raise your hand if you were around for the Alliance Bible Fellowship in 1984. And more recently, in 1988, we became Sio Community Church Moved West. How many of you were around for 1988 when this building was opened for the first time? And then in 2015, we gathered together this morning. How many of you were here this morning? Just checking. Woo! All right. By the way, if the Western migration continues, we're going to be soon known as the Chicago Alliance Church. I don't know what year, but I'm just might want to prepare for that. You know, many great pastors have guided this church over 81 years. God has guided all of us and all of them. And we can celebrate. We remember his goodness. We remember his faithfulness. A lot has changed since 1934, but our family remains together, following Jesus Christ. Our mission has changed, has never changed. Our purpose has never changed. Our God has never changed. And this is the thing about God, is on the one hand, he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can be trusted. On the other hand, he's always doing new things. He's always doing new things. And it's very exciting to have the stability of a God who never changes. And yet the excitement of unveiling each day his new mercies, his new plans, his new ideas for our lives. Second thing I want us to remember today is the alliance. You know, our church's history doesn't actually begin in Ypsilanti in 1934, but rather in New York City in the late 1800s with a Canadian, a guy named A.B. Simpson. I love his hair. He established the New York Gospel Tabernacle, and this was the line. It was to bring like-minded people together into an organization that could facilitate outreach ministries. This included the first team of missionaries to the Congo in 1994. And although the Christian Missionary Alliance did not actually become a denomination until 1974, mission has literally been our middle name. We have brothers and sisters today in 70 countries, planting churches, training national church leaders, providing relief and development assistance, medical and dental care, and micro-enterprise projects. We have nearly 2,000 churches just in the United States, which represents only about 10% of our population. And about 600 of our local churches in the United States are actually multi-ethnic churches. Globally, there are over 3 million people in our Alliance family. And I don't know about you, but I find it really exciting. Really exciting to be a part of a family that's not only so big and so diverse, but has such a rich history. Rich traditions, and that for generation after generation after generation, we've seen God's goodness and faithfulness. And finally, the Church of Jesus. The Church of Jesus Christ. It began about 2,000 years ago from Jewish roots dating back to a covenant made between God and Abraham. Bible scholar N.T. Wright talks about what he sees as a multi-act play. He views the Bible as actually a five-act play, and he says in act one of this play is this thing called creation, going back to Genesis, the first chapters of Genesis, that God creates, and life begins, our story begins. And he says that the second act is the fall, and most of us are familiar with the fall. Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and everything changed from that moment on. Sin and death entered the world. All the beautiful perfection of God's plan was altered significantly. And Act 3, Israel, the covenant with Abraham. Abram, actually. God comes to Abram and says, I want to make you into a great nation, a great people, and I'm going to bless you so that you can bless other people. And the story of Israel continues to this day. Act 4 was when Jesus shows up on the scene and he says, I'm going to take the covenant and actually introduce a new covenant that we're going to celebrate in a few moments today. What Jesus did forever altered the course of human history. And the fundamental question that we must all answer, every single human being must answer, is who is Jesus? Very few people would doubt that Jesus ever existed. It's a pretty well-known fact, even among atheists, agnostics, people of other faiths and traditions, that a person named Jesus came and he lived. There are some disputes among them about who he actually was, what he actually did. And some have suggested now that we are in Act 5, the church. That Jesus came to usher in this new covenant. He came to bring freedom and to hope, and the joy and purpose and meaning to our lives. He fulfilled all the Old Testament, and now Jesus ushers in the church, his body, his bride. Some have suggested that we are actually in Act 6 right now, that Act 5 might be the church, like the New Testament church, and that now we're living in Act 6, awaiting for Act 7, which will be the final culmination, the new heaven and the new earth. And seeing life, seeing history in these acts is really helpful because there's one continuous story, there's one continuous God, and while there's changes and shifts through these different acts, there's also great continuity. You would never go to a theater and watch something that occurs in Act 1, let's say Fiddler on the Roof, and then all of a sudden in Act 3, Shrek appears. I mean, it really wouldn't be congruent with Act 1, no matter how creative you were as a director. To link Fiddler on the Roof and Shrek would be quite a stretch, I think. But we do go to plays, and we do experience stories that shift, that change, that introduce new characters. But there's one continuous flow through it all. We've gathered together as a family today to worship God together, to sing to God together, to present our gifts to God together, to love and serve God together, and to remember together. And I know perhaps you've looked at our list of rules and you thought, well, wait, where does it say, what about love one another? What about loving God? But these two basic commands of Jesus, to love God and to love others, are actually intertwined in all of these. Today we remember our Messiah who faithfully modeled these two simple yet challenging commands. And for centuries, our brothers and sisters have remembered Jesus through an act known as Eucharist or the Lord's Supper or communion. And it's really in obedience to a command of Jesus who on the night he was betrayed, got his friends together. And he let them know in advance what was going to happen. That he predicted his death and he predicted his resurrection as well. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now, there's a lot of different ways that this whole thing has been celebrated through the ages. There's differences between different denominations, different local churches, even different ways that we do it here at SIO from time to time. But the point remains the same, to remember what Jesus did, to remember his body that was broken, his precious body that was broken. And to remember the cup is a way of remembering his blood that was poured out for us. That he gave everything that he had, and in such a way that no matter what you've done, no matter who you are, your past, your present, you can experience wholeness. You can experience completeness and joy. That your sins can be wiped away white as snow. That you can experience grace, unmerited favor. Not that you've done anything, but that he did it all. It's merely a gift that we receive. And we do that today. We remember him. We remember and we celebrate what a great God that we serve, that his amazing grace would be offered to every man, woman, and child. He continues, Paul, in this passage, and he says, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. These are pretty serious words. That we don't do it flippantly. Did you know in the early church, a lot of times they had wine. We have grape juice, but they had wine. And sometimes people were so excited about it, they would get drunk on the communion wine. I mean, can you imagine? This is a sacred thing. It's a holy thing. And it's not about our consumeristic impulses to get drunk and to have fun and to stuff our faces so much as it is to remember what Jesus has done. And everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Paul says, for those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ, eat and drink judgment on themselves. Pretty strong words. He continues, this is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep, which means they died. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. Paul's speaking about this table, and he's saying it's important, and we need to remember it, and we need to remember our sins, and remember that Jesus washed them away. If you're a follower of Jesus today, we invite you to the table. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, we invite you to follow Jesus. There's no one else in history worth following. Everyone else has failed us. Everyone else has been weak. Everyone else has sinned. But Jesus lived a perfect life, set an example of what it truly means to be human. And then he said, I love you. But instead of just using words, he opened up his arms and said, I love you this much. And he died. He died so that we could live. He died so that we didn't have to slaughter animals and take their blood and scatter it all over altars. He died so that we could have freedom and peace. He died so that we could know our dad, our heavenly dad, who turns away from sin, but who loves his son and loves his children. Friends, this morning, nothing you could ever do can make God love you more, and nothing you could ever do can make God love you less because of what Jesus did. And so today we invite you to the table. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come up. If you're a follower of Jesus, to come forward. And just as a practical matter, if you can come up on the left side of your row and then return on the right side, so that's kind of like clockwise, just so we don't have too many traffic jams. We've got some small little baskets of gluten-free, and we ask those with gluten-free to also use the clear glass. And the rest of you can use the larger baskets and the blue goblets to come up, take a piece of bread, a little more substantial than those little tiny wafers we usually have, to come up and remember Jesus' body that was broken and remember his blood and to just dip it in remembrance of Christ. And so over these next few moments, you may remain seated, pray, prepare, confess any sins. When you're ready, come to the table, eat and drink in remembrance of Christ. That's one of my favorite questions, particularly at the end of a message, is, so what? Throughout Scripture, we are told by God to remember. But without understanding the past, we will struggle to understand the present, and we're going to make the same mistakes over and over again. You know, some people, they want to live in the past. They stare, if you will, in their rearview mirror, unaware of the fact that God has great things ahead. We look back to see where we've been, and we look forward to see where we are going and where God is leading us, and he's guiding us. He says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And I can say, friends, I don't know exactly what the future holds for Sile Community Church, but as the cliche says, I know who holds the future. And I know he's got great things in store for us, great plans for us as a church as we move forward, as we move into year 81 and 82 and someday 181 and maybe 1,081. That God has great and mighty plans, and we remember the past. We don't live there. We remember the past so that we can move into the future, live out the present and the future. We are, as I said, in Acts 6 of this creation act, this act of humanity that begins with creation. Many fear the future, but I've got great news for you. Jesus is already in 2016. He's already in 2017. In fact, 2020, he's already been there. Jesus has already been, in fact, Jesus has already been in 3017. I don't know if that gives you hope, but it excites me. It excites me to know that we don't have a God who's unaware of the future. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. He's already been there. I don't understand how. Don't ask me to explain it. But we have a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but also a God who transcends time. He's already been there. And he's inviting us into the future. He's calling us forward. He's calling us into deeper relationship with him. And in the meantime, let's remember the past. Let's fully embrace the present. And let's co-create the future with him until he returns. Amen. You know, selfies are they're a fun way to kind of capture images of ourselves in various places. And perhaps even better than a selfie is a group photo. I took a few earlier, right? I wish we could take a picture of all of us. Like maybe there's a put it. Okay, look up above and we're gonna see. No, there's no camera. But a family, a group picture of a family. We were created for relationships with God and with one another. And often our best memories come from shared experience together as family. And we've had one of those yet today. To come to the table and to share together the great work that God's been doing in our lives. I got one more thing just to share with you all real quick. You know our history. You know our mission. You know our family rules. If you've been a part of this series at all, you understand Sile Community Church and what we're all about. And all that's left for you ideally is to join the family. I invite you to join the family, to formally join the family. Some of you have told me, well, I don't need a piece of paper in order to be married, but a marriage certificate has meaning. There's something about when two people love each other that they don't just keep it private to themselves and keep it informal. They go through a ceremony. They get a license. They go through that process to formally declare their love for one another. And in the same way, church membership is a way to formally say, hey, I'm a part of this family. I'm all in. And some of you have already been through this process and you've publicly declared, this is my family. And others of you haven't for various reasons. And I just want to encourage you, join the family. It really involves a couple steps. One is getting to know who we are and our history and all that. And well, you're all qualified today. And the second step is just to have a short gathering with our elders. We meet once a month, and we just love to hear people's stories. Just 5, 10 minutes, just show up, share your story. Let us know, hey, this is my family. There's no great special privileges. It's not like American Express. You know, membership happens. You can become a deacon. You can vote for deacons and elders. You can become an elder by being a member. But some of you that haven't yet made that step, we just invite you to join the family. Just make a formal step. Have the elders stand up real quick. These are the elders in our church. And if you're not yet a member and you'd like to become a member, just see one of the people standing. Say, hey, I'd like to share my story. I don't mean share the story like in front of all of us with a microphone. I know that freaks a lot of you out. No, just come to one of our meetings. Just share your story briefly of how you've encountered Jesus and how it's your desire to follow Christ. And then formally join our Sile family. You guys can sit down. Thanks so much. You can email them too if you like. We'll set up a time just to hear your story and to welcome you to our family. To formally welcome you to our family. Well, we've got one special song that we'd like you to hear, and then we're going to close our time together. Use this as an opportunity just to listen, to reflect, to remember all that's been spoken today, all that's been spoken throughout this series. All this God's been speaking through history about how much he loves you and about how much he desires for you to love him and to love others.